Thank you, Stephanie. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me? Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter, and we'll begin in the 5th verse there. Gospel according to Luke, 21st chapter. This will be our 70th message out of the Gospel according to Luke. Next Sunday, we will end our series with 71 messages, and there are many things yet to be learned out of this great gospel. Gospel according to Luke, the 21st chapter, beginning in the 5th verse. And some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned and with goodly stones and gifts. And he said, as for these things which you behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, when shall these things be? And what sign shall there be that these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And the time draws near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not by and by. And the Lord blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would challenge us, Father, that you would change us, that you would draw us closer to Jesus than we have ever been. Teach us how to deal with those things that will come. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're living in a very scary time. There are scary things all around. Of course, that's always been the case. The world has always had its fears. When I was just a wee lad of a boy, we were taught how to deal with some of the difficulties that were going to come our way. We were taught how to deal with real disasters. Now, I'm not talking about what they do today. Today, they have a siren that rings. People go out in the hallway. They sit in the hallway, and they avoid the storms in that way. They're trying to avoid things like hurricanes, things like tornadoes, and I don't want to minimize those. Those are major things, but they really weren't what we were dealing with when I was growing up. You see, when I was growing up, the threat was not so much what rain was going to fall from the sky, but what bomb may fall from the sky. And in a real time period, when I grew up, we were concerned about bombs. Not just any bombs. When I grew up, we were concerned about atomic bombs. You see, we had just come through a period of time that there was a real nuclear buildup, and that buildup seemed to be getting worse and worse. I grew up during the Cold War, and some of you will remember that period of time. We were taught as children during the Cold War that an attack could come at any moment. On this land, we were concerned about attack. On this land, we were concerned mostly about the dropping of an atomic bomb. We had dropped a bomb, now this is years before, on Hiroshima, and we saw the devastation that would cause, and so we had to be prepared because in this nuclear buildup, anybody could retaliate, and there might be a bomb that would drop at any time. What do you do in the case of such a disaster? Well, in that day, it was thought that it was possible for even children to be okay when a nuclear bomb hit. It was very simple what was going to happen. We saw films. Yes, there were films. And the films were shown on a big projector, be brought into the room, and one big spill of film would roll on through the machine into another big spill of film. We had a screen, and we would watch these presentations, and we would watch, what do you do when the bomb falls? Well, the bomb would fall. Some of you were there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others are just totally out of it in this world. I want you to know, there could be a bomb fall. You may need to be prepared. Now, If a bomb was to fall, you would know. You would know because there would be a siren. Kind of like the sirens that go when we have the tornado drills. Now, it would ring. It would be loud enough that you would hear. We had tests, so we understood what it would sound like. And so the siren would go off. Now, when the siren went off, there were certain things you needed to do. And the certain things you needed to do began with getting under your desk. You would get under your desk, and we're not talking a teacher's desk, we're talking a student's desk. You would get under your desk, then you would kneel down into a tight little ball. You would put your head between your legs and put your hands behind your head. If you would do this, you were going to be okay. And it was okay. So, and, you know, we were taught that whenever this happened, it seemed like it would happen during school hours because the only help we were given was getting under the desk. The only other thing I could imagine is if you were away from school and you heard the siren, you would have to run to the school because you got to get to your desk. And then you get under your desk and the bomb falls and you are absolutely fine and that's how you would survive. Now, that kind of seems ridiculous today, but it was very real. And it was taken as a very real threat, and we really did practice getting under our desk, and we were ready. It's kind of like stop, drop, and roll. We would stop, get under our desk, and we would ball up, and we would be ready if the disaster hit. Well, in today's world, we're more enlightened. In today's world, we've learned a little bit about nuclear threat. We've learned a little bit about nuclear attack. We understand today that it would be impossible for anyone to survive a direct nuclear hit. But you really shouldn't worry because, after all, who has nuclear capabilities? Well, there is Iran. Iran has an on and off again nuclear program. Now, every time we go in, they don't have one, but when we're not there, they apparently have one. My concern is they're going to set some bomb off while they're trying to hide it under the sand. I don't know. But Iran has that capability. Russia and China have huge nuclear stores. Pakistan, one of our least stable allies, has nuclear weapons. Now, in case you're not aware, their main enemy is India. And India has a large amount of nuclear weapons. Thank goodness that they're sitting with their legs crossed going, the nuclear weapons certainly exist. And, you know, I don't guess we should worry about the nuclear weapons existing, because everybody that has them is cool and calm and very intelligent and in complete control. Did I mention that North Korea has nuclear capabilities, or at least are getting close to that? North Korea has a leader that just does not like us at all. And they now have missiles. You know, I wrote this a few weeks ago, and when I wrote this a few weeks ago, they had missiles that might reach Hawaii. Now they have missiles that can reach Chicago. They have tested those missiles, and we know that they work. There are threats of so-called dirty bombs. This is not as polished as the big nuclear missiles, but it is a nuclear threat in a smaller capacity. It can fit in the size of a large suitcase. And a dirty bomb can be brought in by terrorists and could be anywhere. What do you do in a day with these kind of threats all around us? Well, you hold to a strong faith in a loving Heavenly Father. In our text, Jesus and the disciples are leaving the temple. Now, it would have been almost impossible not to be awed by the temple. It was an amazing place. There was gold everywhere, and valuable gifts were stacked up that had been brought by worshipers. As they gaze in wonder at the temple, Jesus gives them the most astounding news. Jesus tells them that judgment is going to come one day, and it will fall upon that temple. In fact, that temple is going to be destroyed, and not one stone of those great stones is going to be left upon another. Here, as we leave the temple complex, Jesus gives a word of prophecy. Jesus is telling them about eschatology, the theology of the end times. He's telling them and us about what is going to happen. Much has been written about the end times. Some people kind of get lost in it. Some people are so wrapped up in what's going to happen sometime that they don't really live in the here and now. May I suggest to you, it is far more important for us to focus on how God wants us to live in this moment. But that doesn't mean you don't need to be aware of the end times. Because in reality, the end times could be these times. Jesus gives a glimpse of the future, and I believe even that glimpse of the future is to challenge us to live for Him day by day, to focus on Him moment by moment, that we might be ready no matter what explosions come into our lives. Jesus begins by avoiding their question. They want to know, when is all this going to happen? When is the temple going to be destroyed? Now, I think that's a reasonable question to ask. They've just been told that the most stable thing on the planet, the largest structure they know of anywhere, that structure is going to be completely dismantled, and with it would dismantle their whole belief system. And so it would be very common for them and expected for them to wonder, when's that going to happen? But Jesus doesn't tell them that. Jesus tells us where our focus is to be, and he tells us how we are to react. There is a message here about a following in verse 3. Take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. And the time draws near, go not after them. In the future, there are going to be many people that claim to be Jesus. Now, they're going to come and they're going to claim to have a lot of information on the last days. They're going to know when the last days are going to come, and they're going to give you that kind of information. Do not follow them. Do not follow every Yahoo who comes down the line claiming to have spiritual position and power. Do not follow every guy or gal that has a public pulpit or that has the technical ability to be seen on television, YouTube, and certainly not Facebook. Anyone or anything that is of God is going to be consistent with this book. Their word has to be consistent with His word. And if their word is inconsistent with His word, then their word is not the right word. And so when you hear individuals telling you times and places and what's going to happen, and they give information that is not consistent with Scripture, do not follow them. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Listen to a newscast lately? There are wars and rumors of wars. Some of them are out of Washington. Wars and rumors of wars, things that are going to happen. Think of it. Think of the instability of our day. If Iran goes nuclear, and follows their president, the leader of the country now, then by his own testimony, his one aim in life is to completely annihilate, to wipe out every Jew on the planet, and to completely destroy Jerusalem. So if he gets the technology to do so and launches a missile into Jerusalem for destruction purposes, that would immediately call upon Israel's allies to stand in their defense. Who is Israel's greatest ally? That's us. And so America would be called to the defense of Israel. When we step in, all of a sudden it's not an Iran issue, it's an Iran and their allies issue. Well, who in the world are Iran's allies? All the Arab states would come to the aid of Iran. Even those that are not with them now would be forced to stand with them against Israel. But that's not the problem. The problem is their primary ally is a place called Russia. And another primary ally is China. And a minor ally is a crazy guy in North Korea. So it's easy to see, Iran goes nuclear, they attack Israel, and we're in a world war. That simple, that quick, it all happens. That's not the only scenario. What if North Korea and their exalted leader decide they're going to attack? Now, they have already threatened to attack. Their primary threats are Japan, South Korea, and the United States. If they attack South Korea, you know, we have a large presence in South Korea. In attacking South Korea, they are attacking us. If they attack Japan, well, certainly they wouldn't do anything toward Japan. Earlier this week, if you were aware, they shot a missile over Japan through Japan's airspace. That in itself could have escalated to war. If they fire or attack Japan, South Korea, or if they fire on the United States directly, which he has threatened to do, by the way, Guam is a part of the United States, then we would be in immediate war. Their allies would be in war. Oh, who is North Korea's allies? That's a place called China. World War. What are we to do at such a time? What are we to do with such horrible possibilities? Let me tell you what not to do. Do not follow fear. I'm not trying to make you afraid. I am trying to tell you there is a cure for your fear. In verse 9, when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. He jumps across fear to being terrified. God's not given us a spirit of fear. Do not follow the path of fear and worry. Stand in faith. There are going to be national conflicts. There are going to be national conflicts, whether there are these that we've talked about or others. They're going to come. When they come, when this world becomes more unstable than it is, then the people of this world is going to look for somebody who is stable, somebody who is solid, somebody who is calm, someone who has peace. You know who they're looking for? They're looking for people who say they believe in Jesus Christ and who are focusing on Him. You need to be that person. For when they turn to you, they can get the gospel, they can find out how they can have Jesus as their Savior, and they can be eternally saved. We have a responsibility in these unstable times to be stable by keeping our focus on the Lord. And by the way, if the explosion in your life is not nuclear, if the explosion in your life comes from other individuals or from other things happening, whatever explosions come into your life, it still calls upon you to keep your focus on the Lord. There is going to be a great opportunity for you when disasters come your way to be at peace with God, at peace with what He is doing, and understand that He is going to carry you through. Now, this chapter is dealing with two separate events, a prophecy that were future at the time they were given. There was the coming destruction and judgment of Jerusalem, in which Jerusalem would fall, the temple would be destroyed. And there is the second coming of Jesus. Two separate things at two separate times. The challenge of who and what not to follow is the same for believers in both cases. We're not to follow false leaders. We're not to follow people that are inconsistent with the Bible. And may I tell you, when people turn from God's word and say it's okay to have same-sex marriages, those are people not to follow. When people turn from God's word and say, that immorality of any type is okay, permissible, and should be tolerated, they are not to be followed. That's true at all times. The gospel would have been affected had they followed the wrong leaders. You see, he tells them not to go inside the city in the case of the calamity and the attacks. Why were the believers not to go inside the city? The city is a walled city. Now, had they gone inside the city would have been sealed as it was sealed, and they could have been slaughtered with the 1 million Jews that were slaughtered by the Romans. If all the believers in that day had been slaughtered, Jesus has already ascended back into glory. All of a sudden, the gospel had been cut off, and you would not have heard the gospel. Don't follow the wrong leaders, because following the wrong leaders leads you into calamity, but it also puts you in a situation that could hurt the gospel going forward. There are going to be earthquakes in different places. There are going to be famines, and there's going to be pestilences. Well, I don't know if you've been following what's happened in our world, but it seems like there is an increase of earthquakes and an increase of earthquake severity. In recent years, earthquakes have been reported in Georgia. Yeah, it's amazing what has taken place right here and right now, and it actually ties in with Scripture. There's a rise in the number and severity of earthquakes. What about the famines? Well, there's an increase in famines. Now, we eat very well in this country. We probably eat too well in this country. But the world is not held in our country. In 91 to 93, Somalia was in famine. In 95 to 99, North Korea lost 2.5 million people because of famine. In 98 to 2011, Sudan, Darfur, South Sudan, all in famine. 2008, Southern Somalia. 2017, Sudan, as many as 40% of their population lost. We're in a day of increased famine. Pestilences, we have many. We have things that we can't do anything about. There's still no cure for AIDS. Ever heard of Ebola? Ebola was thought to be localized in Western Africa, thought to be pretty much contained, except that's not the case. It seems to be spreading. Just this year, there have been at least 5 outbreaks in the United States alone, possibly more. There are silent carriers to disease. That is, there are people that don't show any signs of having disease that have the disease. people that have visited areas where the diseases are, and they can spread the disease without any thought or intent. Perhaps you've heard of the Zika virus. Zika is a virus that affects certainly those who are expecting, pregnant women, but it can affect others. People can have it and not know it. It is transferred primarily by mosquitoes. Now, just a few years ago, we had no threat because none of those mosquitoes existed in the United States. That is no longer the case. The mosquitoes that spread the Zika virus are now found in certain parts of the United States, and the Zika virus itself has been found in Miami. Pestilences, they're there. In all of these things, don't follow false leaders. Do not follow fear. Persecution is going to increase. People will be beaten for their faith. People will be put to death for their faith. People will be drawn before leaders for their faith. Certainly, that's going on today in today's world too. Again, we should still hold to our faithfulness in the Lord Jesus. We should hold to Him and not focus anywhere else in such times. In verse 13, and it shall come to you for a testimony. When you're in a situation of difficulty, great disaster, small disaster, when you're in a situation of difficulty, it comes to you for a testimony. It is your opportunity to be a witness of what you believe. It's your opportunity to let God work through your life to be a blessing and challenge to others. We're going to enter a day where people are going to hate believers. Hey, we're there. Certainly it is not bad in the South at this moment, but we are seeing a creeping across the world of people despising those who stand against sin. And since we are called to stand against sin, we are being despised. Because we stand against homosexuality, we are being called bigots. The scripture is becoming true before our very faces. Persecution will rise. Amnesty International today says the most single persecuted group in the world today is evangelical Christians. Jesus challenges us, be patient in our faith. Then there's the promise of fulfilling. In verse 22, for these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Jesus tells of the destruction of Jerusalem. That was prophecy in that day. It's history to us. It all came about. It came about in 70 AD. It happened just as Jesus said it would happen. You see, all of God's word is going to become true. Everything He has said will happen is going to happen. Jesus predicts that Jerusalem will be inhabited by Gentiles, unthought of in His day, and yet it bore out very quickly. The Jews of that day were taken into captivity. They had to abandon Jerusalem altogether, and they were without a place. In fact, they remained without a place. They were without a place through the years. The Bible does predict that there will be a coming back to the land of promise. That happened in May 14th, 1948. On May 15th, 1948, you know what happened? The UN gave a small parcel of land in Palestine to the Jews. May 16th, 1948, the Arab nations declared war on the new nation of Israel. It was not until June 6, 1967, that the Six-Day War ended. Jerusalem was in the hands of the Jews, and Luke 21:24 was completely fulfilled. God's word is always right. So there were wars and rumors of wars, and we have wars and rumors of wars today. There will be noticeable celestial changes shifts in the tides. We are told the tides are shifting. I am not a proponent of global warming, but one of the big things that people who believe in global warming are saying is that the tides will be shifting. If they are right, it could be a fulfillment of this prophecy, but whether that's the issue or not, we will see a shifting of the tides. Men's hearts are going to be shaken. The scripture says it will be like the days of Noah. Well, what were the days of Noah like? It will be like a time when people did what they wanted to do and didn't care what to anybody else said. It will be like the days when people turned their own way and didn't turn God's way. It will be like the days when people abandoned God in their thoughts and cares. Isn't that today? What I'm telling you is that what Jesus said would happen in the last days is happening now, which means it's very likely that we are in those days. He tells a parable of a fig tree. He says, when you see the fig tree put out shoots, you will know that summer is coming. And what he is saying is when you begin to see God fulfilling his word, when you see God fulfilling what he has said will happen about the end times, it is an indication that Jesus is coming. All prophecy will be fulfilled. And then there's a challenge to focusing in verse 36. Watch you therefore, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Don't let the cares of this world overcome you. Put your focus on Jesus. If you find yourself in a tornado, put your focus on Jesus. If you find yourself under attack, put your focus on Jesus. If you find yourself in a war, put your focus on Jesus. It is only in focusing on him that we will have peace, that we will have direction, that we will have deliverance. And so no matter what is happening around you, no matter what explosion comes into your life, focus solely on Jesus. He is Almighty God, and my friend, he is coming again. As the world changes, focus on Jesus. As others choose sin, focus on Jesus. As nations war against nations, focus on Jesus. As difficulties come into your heart and into your life, focus on Jesus. And one day, my friend, you will be able to look into the eastern skies, and there he will be. And we will rise to meet him in the air, and we will ever be with the Lord. And as to all those warring people back on the earth, we'll just say, bye. See you later. We're focusing on Jesus. The only way to have peace in an uncertain time is to know the God of peace. And the Prince of Peace came to Calvary's cross for you. He died there. He was buried. He rose again, and one day he will come again. Do you know him? You see, it all hinges on you knowing him. If you know him, there is peace for your future. But you got to know him. And if you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to walk down one of these aisles. Just say, I want Jesus. Real simple. We know what that means. We will pray with you. Jesus will come into your heart. You will be gloriously saved today. Believer, we're in uncertain times, but we have a certain God. And we need to put our focus on him, and we need to put our life in his hands. We need to be walking toward him, and we need to be telling others about him. And maybe today you just need to come to the altar and recommit yourself to Jesus. God calls you to a decision. Put your focus on him. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you, Father, that no matter what happens, there is one that we can rely upon, Father, one who came for us, who died for us, was buried and rose again for us, one who's willing to save our souls and to take us into his heavenly home. Father, I pray for those that are here that do not know you, that they would be willing to step out, to come forward, to say, I want Jesus. For those that need a church home, that you would lead them to this place. And for believers, Father, Lord, that we would put our focus on you, that we would turn from our sins, turn completely to you, and let you have your way in our lives. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you come?